Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Valerie Smaldone along with Leslie Gold. Abby Ellen is a writer who often writes about health and wellness issues for the New York Times, among other publications. Recently, Abby wrote an article about endometriosis in teens and those teens who are often misdiagnosed. It's a huge, huge issue. And I think it's something of great interest to me and to our listeners. Welcome to America Weekend, Abby.
Hi, Valerie. Thank you so much for having me.
So this article got a lot of response. I saw there were something like 215 comments based on your article.
I was so shocked at how many responses there were. I had known that endometriosis for a while, and I had known some people who had had it, some women, but I didn't realize the extent that it was misdiagnosed and that doctors didn't take it seriously and that everybody thought that these girls who were complaining, you know, just sort of wanted to get out of school and were making things up. I had no idea that there was so much associated with it. And so I was really surprised.
And that's, yeah, that's unusual to get. I mean, oftentimes writers do receive comments, but that was a lot of commentary, and people were mainly thanking you for bringing the issue to light, which brings me to the question, how did you decide to write this particular article? Why did you, why were you driven towards this topic?
I'll tell you what happened. Should we explain what endometriosis is?
Just well, sure. That's a great idea. I assume people do know what it is, but perhaps not. So please explain.
And it's funny because I thought people would know what it is too, and then I got all these other people who didn't write in, but I got all these other people who said I'd never heard of it. So, you know, so I thought everybody knew too. But basically, it's this disease, and it's a hormone and immune system disease in which uterine tissue is found outside of the uterus. And this causes lesions in the ovaries, in the fallopian tube, in the bowel or bladder or the lining of the abdomen. They don't know why this happens. They don't know how it happens, but they do know that the lesions cause inflammation and debilitating pain. So basically, it's just for women, it's extreme, extreme cramps every month when they get their period, so much so that the young women sometimes, or older women too, but you pass out from the pain, or you might throw up from the pain, or you just can't get out of bed, it's so bad. Now, obviously, people who have extreme cramps don't necessarily have endometriosis, but in many instances, they do.
Mm-hmm.
So I got turned on to it because I don't have endometriosis, but I used to get terrible, terrible, terrible cramps, awful. And I remember I had a professor in college in my sociology of women class, and she was talking about menstruation, and she said, you know, I believe that cramps are a cultural construct. She said, I believe that because women are told that having your period is shameful and you're unclean and there's so many negative associations, but that there's sort of all this baggage that goes along with menstruating. And I remember I was furious with her, and I said, you know, my cramps are not a cultural construct. They're debilitating, and I feel them. And I'm not making it up, and it's not because we live in a patriarchal society that I'm suffering. It's because my body is. Anyway, so I never forgot that. That was 20-odd years ago, and I never forgot that. I have a friend whose niece had endometriosis and was not diagnosed for, I think, 18 years and got a hysterectomy at 29. And she said, you really need to do something about this. And I remember all these years when this my friend's niece had been suffering and suffering and suffering. And I didn't think, you know, I didn't realize the extent, and I didn't realize that there was so much misdiagnosis and everything. So finally, I said, okay, let's do this story. And this woman didn't want to go public with her story because she had had a hysterectomy. She said, I'm happy to talk about anything, but I don't want to use my real name saying I had a hysterectomy, which I understand. I totally get that. But I ended up finding somebody else who went on the record because they wanted somebody to use their real name. And so that's how this idea came. And so then I started doing all this research, and what I realized is that there were just, I thought there was going to be more people being diagnosed with it, and what I realized was that is not the case at all. Fewer people it takes longer to get diagnosed. So that's how that happened.
So through a personal story, you found out about it and then did the research and realized this was a huge number of people, women, that are diagnosed with this endometriosis. What are the numbers? What are we talking about?
they're diagnosed or they're not diagnosed, they estimate very conservatively that it's 89 million worldwide. 89 million women worldwide, with 6.5 million in the U.S. and Canada. That's a very conservative number. They don't know because so many girls don't find out about it until years later. So the Endometriosis Association, which is one of the big groups, estimates that it can take up to 10 years. 10 years from the onset of pain for a doctor to give a diagnosis of endometriosis. And that's mostly because doctors don't believe that the disease can affect teenagers.
Well, that's really the key of the article that Abby Ellen has written for the New York Times, that it's such young women in their teens are experiencing this extraordinary pain and are being told it's just the way it is, it's just your period, get over it, it's nothing that you can do. And later in life, they're realizing that they've had this problem all along. And it often causes infertility, right, Abby?
It's correct. It does. It often causes infertility, and that's when a lot of people realize that that's why they have it, because that they are not able to get pregnant. And so that's when the doctors say, "Oh, let's do laparoscopy," which is how it's diagnosed. And so they go in and they do that, and that's when they find it. But before that, they've done nothing. So it's just because they're trying to figure out why these people aren't getting pregnant, mm-hmm. and that's why. So I spoke to a woman who had a hysterectomy when she was 22. 22, she decided, because here's the irony is that the doctors, first they say, well, maybe we'll give you birth control, so maybe that'll help with your symptoms. Then they'll say, why don't you get pregnant? Because maybe that'll help with your symptoms. And, of course, this is, you know, these are young girls, right? They're 19, 20 years old. They don't want to be pregnant. And so this one woman I spoke with, who was in the story, with her real name, and she had thought about getting pregnant. And the fertility specialist said, you know, well, your eggs aren't viable. There's no way. You're not going to get pregnant. So she said, fine, if I'm not going to get pregnant, I'm going to have a hysterectomy. That's it. So she did that when she was 22.
But that opens up a whole different can of worms when you are thrust into menopause surgically and it's not a natural progression. That opens up another big problem.
That's correct. It does. You don't want it. Yeah. And it doesn't necessarily guarantee that you're not going to have the same symptoms.
Which she did.
So this woman,
right?
She did.
Yes.
She was fine for 5.5 years, and then she said she would start experiencing symptoms as if she were having a period. Yep. She did. So, and, you know, so there, and she's furious, as she should be. You know, she said the doctor's taking me seriously at 15. Who knows what would happen to me at 22.
So
but she kept going to the doctors. They didn't believe her.
What's the takeaway from this article, Abby, that you'd like women, young women and older women to know?
I would like any woman, I would like any person to know two things. A, you have to be your own advocate. I mean, you have to be your own advocate no matter what's going on. And you need to say, you know what, I think something else is going on. Let's check it. The other problem is insurance. You know, obviously there's whole insurance issues, and they don't often cover things in young girls. But you need to, you and or your parents, somebody needs to go out there and say, listen, this is not normal. Because it's not normal. You're not supposed to suffer that greatly with your period. You're not supposed to pass that. You're not supposed to throw up. You're just not. And it's not normal, and it's not just part of the gig, and, you know, it's just not the way it's supposed to be. And it's not menstrual cramps. Are not a patriarchal construct. They exist and they're real.
Well, some really important information that you were able to disseminate to your readers, and I know, as I mentioned earlier, it got a lot of attention on this article that published a few weeks ago. I'm speaking with writer Abby Ellen, journalist Abby. What's next for you? You write a lot for The Times, but what else are you up to these days?
Well, I'm actually working on a book that has to do with duplicity, and I had read a book called Teenage Wasteland, WAIST, about childhood obesity, and so I still write a lot about obesity and eating disorders. I write a lot about eating disorders, actually, whether it's anorexia, whether it's bulimia, whether it's binge eating disorder. That's sort of my thing. I write about that, you know, even men. I mean, I talk about people who, what I like to write about are people who are suffering from whatever they're suffering from, and they aren't being taken seriously, or they didn't know that other people were having the same experiences. So I did a big story about men and binge eating disorder. No, I mean, because you don't think of these things, especially eating disorders, you don't think of that as something that men really get, and they do.
And so in the last 20 seconds we have, Abby, what is the book that you're writing right now?
It's unnamed, but it has to do with deception and duplicity. So if anybody has any stories of deception and duplicity, find me at abbyellen@gmail.com.
Well, that sounds fascinating. I look forward to reading that, and continued great success with all of your health and wellness articles and your stories about obesity and how people can get around binge eating and all of that that you do. It's Abby Ellen.
Thank you.
Writer, journalist, and bon vivant. I'm Valerie Smaldone along with Leslie Gold. Thanks for joining us on America Weekend.
Success in a Minute with George and Mary Lynn.
Can status cost you money? Yes.
In the pursuit of status, many people spend money they don't have. We call it the magical money illusion.
But surely the brightest people in the world can't be hypnotized by this illusion? In a study on money, Harvard University faculty, staff, and students were presented with two options.
The status option, make $50,000 a year, twice what their peers earn. Or the money option, earn $100,000, half what others make.
Did these smart people trade $50,000 and pay for status? Yes.
Nearly 6 out of 10 people gave up $50,000 in pay if their peers made less.
Don't let status trick you out of money, and you'll reach big success.
Find big success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Have back taxes taken control of your life, your bank account, your paycheck? It's time to take back control and avoid tax liens, bank levies, garnished wages, and criminal charges. Take control today and call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-524-6201.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. So when you say, "I don't mean to say this, but," what are you really meaning to say? Or someone says to you, "I don't mean to offend, but," and then off they go. What's really going on, and can this behavior backfire? Here's the social science of it. You know the type, your pseudo best friend says to you, "Now, I don't mean to sound arrogant, but," and then they let you have it. To the point, these disclaimers do not work. They backfire. As a general rule, they make you look pompous, self-centered, high and mighty. What to do? Don't use these phrases like, "I don't mean to, but." Instead, just tell the person what you think they need to know. If your friendship's strong enough, they may even thank you, but be prepared. What goes round comes round. Got a question? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.